89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Town. That's, of course, John Cougar Mellencamp, or John Mellencamp, or just John Cougar, depending on when you got involved with his career. Remember when he was just John Cougar? You probably don't remember that, do you,
No,
Tracy?
I don't.
You remember John Cougar Mellencamp, though? Yeah. Okay. Because his manager told him he couldn't sell as John Cougar. Anyway, joining us right now for Consider This Live is Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Dave.
And my wonderful sister-in-law, Teresa Rickerby, who is also our town councilor here in Coburg. She has the Parks and Recs portfolio. That's right, right?
Yep, that's right. Hi, Dave.
How you doing? Is that the only portfolio? That's it, just Parks and Rec? It's not Parks Rec?
And it's just Parks and Recreation at
okay.
this time, yeah.
Okay, they haven't expanded that for you.
Not yet.
It's busy enough.
Not yet.
Yeah. Rob, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
As always, we'd like to let Rob kick it off here on Northumberland 89.7. You're listening to Consider This.
So, Teresa, we haven't had you on the show before, and I thought it would be really interesting to start off by just sort of looking back over your first year in council and telling us what it was like for you over the last 12 months.
Oh, well, thanks, Rob. It's nice to be here. Yeah, I can't believe it's already a full year has gone by, and we've had our sit down with the mayor, who brings us in and sort of does a check-in, make sure we're still hanging in there. Uh-huh. So it's been an interesting year. I've really enjoyed it. It has been a year of learning, that's for sure. Process, protocol, balance, you know, how to balance work and council. I feel really lucky, actually, to work with such a great group of people. And it's interesting because a lot of people have been mentioning to me lately who have been sitting in council chambers and watching, and they're saying, you know, even when we disagree, it's a very conciliatory council. We're very respectful of each other. So I'm very grateful for that because I know that hasn't always been that way in the past, and I can imagine how that would make the work that much more difficult. But it's been, like I said, a busy year, a year of building relationships, getting to know the portfolio. I'm working with a new parks manager, which has been great. Teresa Bain has moved into the parks management position, and she's been excellent. So I've been really enjoying that. And yeah, Parks and Rec is very busy. I met with someone not too long ago who described this portfolio and the park system as the soul of the town. That's what they felt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Now, looking back, though, could you tell us maybe some of your successes? What are you things that you've felt over the last 12 months you've done well?
Well, over the last 12 months, things that have been happening, well, I would say the marina, because when I came on with probably the marina as the most contentious issue that had been started by previous council, but had sort of been left for this new council. So I'm proud of what we did with the marina in the fact that we kept it where it is right now until we're getting more information. And actually, that's an ongoing project right now. We're still working on that, on looking at the mandate of the marina and where it has been historically and where it's going and what the town wants to do with the marina and, mm-hmm. and what kind of a business model we should have. So that's an ongoing project. So I'm pleased that council decided to halt the expansion at this mm-hmm. okay, into the West Harbor, and that we're continuing discussions about how to make that the most effective business model and, of course, meet the needs of all the users at the marina. So that's one.
That's interesting because the marina, while it was very contentious and you did sort of bring it to a resolution over the early part of your mandate, I'm curious, though, about the infrastructure side of it because I know that that was really an important component of it. There was a controversy about mm-hmm. the expansion of the harbor, but there was also work that needed to be done on the East Pier, I believe. There was also work that had to be done at the pump station. There was, mm-hmm. there was infrastructure mm-hmm. costs that were also involved in that project as well. What's happened to those things?
Well, the marina expansion really didn't have anything to do with the East Pier, and that's a separate project altogether. So the marina expansion had to do with the infrastructure, right, with the slips.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be needing work. We know that. That's like a $1 million project as well.
Yeah.
Yes, the pumps, the fuel pumps. And there's some other work that needs to be done around the washrooms and the marina building itself. So one of the things we are doing right now is we're actually looking at how those responsibilities are laid out, who cares for those. We're looking at an asset management plan for the marina, breaking it all down as mm-hmm. to what costs what, who's paying for what. And that's just right now we're in the stages of working on that, and that'll be coming forward to council for further discussion.
So will the – oh, sorry, if I may. Just when will the East Pier be dealt with, and when will these infrastructure issues be dealt with?
Well, the East Pier was identified in the Parks Master Plan under the waterfront component.
That's
yes,
right.
It does need to be dealt with. Right now, currently, what's happening is council puts aside $25,000 a year in the budget, which is for maintaining the East Pier. There are some sinkholes kind of that are happening because of the structure. It's a wooden structure that's essentially with water, it's kind of rotting away. So it's being maintained at this time. We do realize that that's not a long-term solution, that the East Pier does need to be done. But like I said, we're looking at an implementation plan for the Parks Master Plan. We are waiting at this time. There's been some work started on it, but we are waiting for the new Director of Parks and Recreation and Culture that is coming in the new year. We were hoping to have that position filled by now, but it didn't work out, so the job's actually been reposted, mm-hmm. and we're hoping to have that filled. So, because what we wanted to do is bring someone in with a strong skill set in recreational planning and management in terms of the park system,
mm-hmm.
To manage the overseeing of that. That's in itself is a huge project alone. So, will that be addressed? It's not next year. There's no money in the budget for it next year. I can tell you that. But I can't say for 2017 or 2018 at this point. But it's definitely a priority.
Is one of the problems, though, with the way the harbor front has been dealt with maybe by past councils, the fact that there was a different scope of who was responsible? I mean, you're talking about the bathrooms down there at one point, and my understanding was that the bathrooms were being maintained by Parks and Rec, that the marina wasn't part of their mandate. Is part of the problem with the marina the fact that there isn't a clear vision for the waterfront for the town? We have a Victoria Park vision, we have a marina vision, and then we have the yacht club vision. There doesn't seem to be a single unifying vision for what the problems are at our waterfront. In order to make it a strong economic anchor here in our community, we see issues arising from the people who belong to the yacht club. They have their different rules. The marina has its own responsibility. But it isn't part of the problem the fact that there really hasn't been any clear outlined role and responsibility?
That's the work we're doing right now. And so we've identified that we need to take a look at this as a whole. So we're looking at the marina. What actually under the marina management right now is currently marina and waterfront management.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes not just the marina and the West Harbor, but it includes, like you said, washrooms over
where
dealing
the bus station is
at the at the Codemans over near the food court over there.
Mm-hmm.
It encompasses beach and parts of the beach, but not all of the beach. So
campground as well.
Campground for sure, and that will most likely stay under the marina management only because there's a lot of synergy there with the booking and reservations So that's the work we're doing right now. We've identified that. We know that that has come forward from the boaters, and it mm-hmm. has come forward from the other water users, and council has identified it, that we need to clearly delineate responsibilities mm-hmm. And improve that. So we are working on that. And there is a waterfront vision, if you want to look at the master plan that was adopted by council, for instance, with the waterfront component. And it's not, I would say, a final project that it would need more in-depth mm-hmm. Work, but it's a good starting point.
One of the key things, though, when this controversy was going on that sort of moved this whole discussion forward was the formation of the Waterfront Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. That seemed to solve a lot of wounds that people were going to now have. There was going to be a permanent committee. People were going to be able to talk about it. And yet, when John Henderson was here a couple of weeks ago, he said that that committee is now being folded up. I wonder mm-hmm. if you could talk a bit about that and what it's going to impact on both the debate and in your portfolio.
Yeah, so the formation of the Waterfront Advisory Committee, there was some discussion around it initially. Do we make it an ad hoc committee, or do we make it a committee of council and advisory committee? And when we discussed it, I sat down, I discussed it with the CAO, and we kind of went back and forth, because we were looking at, in terms of an ad hoc committee, about the project with the marina. But then we also realized that there are so much, the scope of the waterfront is so much more than just the marina expansion, that mm-hmm. one project, mm-hmm. That we felt needed to have that say. So we decided to go with a committee of council and advisory committee, and it was a project-oriented committee as a whole, not just related directly to the marina. Now, when the marina expansion went on hold, there was, in terms of current projects, because we aren't doing East Pier and we aren't doing those things yet, current projects, there wasn't as much work to do. But that's where, out of the Waterfront Advisory Committee, that is where the discussion of marina mandate, the historical context, where we're going for the future, mm-hmm. these were all the discussions we had around the table, and they're all very valid and important. So that's where that work has started to come out of, and the asset management, the request for the asset management plan. So, yes, there was, when general government and the council had requested some a governance review, advisory committees were taken into consideration. Do we need them? Are they effective? Do we have too many? Do we have too little? So when we looked at the Waterfront Advisory Committee and Parks and Rec in terms of their terms of reference, and there was concern from the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, because mm-hmm. they'd been sitting here as a volunteer mm-hmm. board for the town, and then the Waterfront Advisory Committee was sort of overseeing a lot of what was already on the terms of reference of the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. So we looked at that. There was some duplication. Mm-hmm. So out of the governance review, and it isn't finalized yet, I'm thinking it's coming back on the 21st. The agenda will be released tomorrow. But the recommendation that came back previously was to combine the two. So it's not necessarily so much to dissolve the Waterfront Advisory Committee, but to bring it together with the people with Parks and Recreation, and to make sure that the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee identifies and acknowledges the importance of the waterfront, and make sure that we're discussing that too, is the scope, that we're not just caught up with soccer mm-hmm. fields and, you know. Now, at the last governance review that came back, I wasn't pleased that the whole committee wasn't being asked to move forward. Originally, only the three members appointed by council were going to be, which were the members of the public at large, that were going to be moving forward. I didn't feel that that was appropriate or fair. So I'm thinking that we're going to be seeing the whole Waterfront Advisory Committee moving forward join Parks and Recreation. Yeah.
Will they be a separate designation within Parks and Rec?
No, they'll sit on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, which I think is excellent, actually. Mm-hmm. I think the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee has a huge mandate. It's huge. So I think this is going to broaden the scope and give us some more representation on that committee. And we're down a few people on Parks and Rec because the chair, Gord Kelly, who had been chairing for many years and he did a great job, he's at the end of his term. So we're going down a few members. So it's all going to work out, I think.
Well, one of the issues that came up during the whole marina expansion thing was the fact that the marina was supposed to be self-sustaining, self-financing. And then some media reports were indicating that the reason it wasn't self-sustaining or self-financing was because the monies that were supposed to be directed to the marina were actually being used for other things, i.e. maintenance of bathrooms and things like that at the refreshment counter. So that monies that were supposed to be there to maintain the marina were in fact being spent elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Has that been addressed at all by council?
Well, and that's what we are doing with the asset management plan and how we move forward with it. So, I mean, the marina is a town-owned asset, right? So any of the revenue that it takes in can be directed out, you know, to the town because it's a town-owned facility. But do we need to be fiscally responsible with the marina and make sure that we have a reserve for infrastructure? And yes, I think we do. It's so again, that's what we're.
This is the argument was that this is how we would have avoided having to spend all kinds of. I mean, the theory purported by the media, and again, this is unconfirmed, but obviously, this is what the rumors are. That the reason we were looking at an expansion of all those slips was to actually offset the cost it was going to. Because of the revenue generated by those many new slips, we would then be able to offset the costs that have essentially been left behind because of this lack of self-sustainability. So they were, in fact, kicking self-sustainability down the road again because the expansion would then cover those costs, but then it wouldn't be something that was maintained in the future. Is that something that is being addressed
then? Yeah, that's exactly what we're looking at, and that's the plan that's going to be coming forward. Yeah.
The introduction of this Parks and Recreation Culture Director.
Yes.
The town had previously did have somebody in a similar role. Would be about 5-10 years ago. What made it necessary to bring somebody back in a staff role to do that? Because it was eliminated, like I said, at one point.
Mm-hmm. Well, this came out of the organizational review that was done. You probably remember it was the past council that had requested the organizational review. And that was one of the recommendations that came out and that the CIO felt that that was an appropriate use. So looking again for leadership, we need a visionary in that area. And again, it's a huge part of the town's budget. Mm-hmm. And someone with the ability to take us to the next level with everything that's happening. We have, for instance, the Parks Master Plan. Here's another plan that was done. We spent a lot of money on it. It's a good quality plan, but we need to implement that plan. We have a cultural master plan that has been identified by council that we want to make a priority. I believe, hopefully, there's money in the budget for that in 2016. So again, someone with that skill set and that vision to drive that project and to oversee the cultural master plan. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're looking for leadership in that
area. And I guess we can assume that the position was gotten rid of at the time because I mean, since then, of course, we've got the CCC now, which is, trying to become self-sustaining. And we'll talk to you about that in a moment.
I don't know if it'll ever be self-sustaining.
Yeah, I don't know either. But, I mean, we really have expanded the base of what is cultural, what is recreational, what is – because, I mean, let's face it, before Parks and Rec was making sure the soccer pitches were ready and the baseball diamonds were up and going and the ice rinks, such as they were usable.
That's right. And it's encompassing so many things. So now it's not just soccer or baseball. Now you're looking at active living, right? So we've got unorganized sporting. You've got active living types of recreation. We've got culture. We've got tourism that's being tied into there. We've identified already the importance of the waterfront as a whole, not just the marina, but we have a naturalized area. Mm-hmm. We have the East Pier project that needs to be done. And I think really to expect one person like our current director of Parks and Rec and Public Works, like it's such a massive scope of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, I think just expect one person to be able to do all of that. I don't know if that's in the best interest of that person necessarily or the town. So, the administration made that choice.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we're going to take our first break of the hour, folks. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. My guests in the studio are Coburg Councillor Teresa Rickerby and Rob Washburn, Professor of E-Journalism at Loyalist College. And the show is Consider This, so please stick around. And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. I'm Dave Glover. With me in the studio, Teresa Rickerby, Town Councillor, Parks and Rec Portfolio Mistress, if you will, here in the town of Coburg, and Rob Washburn, a professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, my regular co-host here on Wednesdays. Rob, I know you got a question.
I definitely do. We just started to talk about this before the break, and that was the CCC and its future. Last year, when the budget was coming down, you talked at great length about the need for some fiscal projects in there and some fiscal management. I'm just wondering, what's we looking at this year, and will the CCC ever be a sustainable, self-sustaining project?
Yeah. I don't know if the CCC will ever be fully self-sustaining. I don't know personally of a community center arena that does. However, I think we can get it into a much better position than it currently is, and we're working on that. So the IB Story system, the heating and cooling communication system, essentially, is in place. It's up and running. We're going to need about 6 months or so to start seeing any savings to be able to do.
So the two machines now are talking?
They're talking.
This has been two years it took that.
It's nice.
To be
building
done.
Relationships.
Building relationships,
takes time.
Yeah. So they're talking. And just
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Yeah. So that's happening. And again, we're looking at hopefully, we were told around $70,000 a year in savings there. And that's our hope that that's going to happen. So that's coming. Revenue generation, I mean, if anyone was at the CCC last night, you would have seen 2,000 people in the stands. That was amazing. And the offshoot sales of beer and poutine and other snacks. I mean, right now, this week in particular, with the Junior A championship that's happening, Coburg's, you know, we're on the world stage here.
Yes.
And the CCC looks fantastic. It's a state-of-the-art facility. I know Hockey Canada is more than impressed with how it's being run. And the ice, I guess, for people who know about these things, the ice is fantastic. The painting job, and I guess they cut the edges, and I don't know about that those technicalities. However, I do know that that's the talk of the town, and what an excellent job they've done. So there are definitely plans. In the budget this year for the CCC, we're looking at, I think it's about $7,000 for some dampers, because right now, again, a lot of it is utility costs, too, if we look at the biggest expenses there. So we
does the town not get a deal on utilities? I mean, we own the utility company, don't we? I mean,
yeah, but you know, it's even though we own the utility company, you're still and this is a frustration for people. You're still mandated with how much it costs.
There's a minimum cost.
Yeah, so you can only save so much. So really, your savings are in efficiencies. So we've got some money in there for some dampers because our boilers are freezing. So little things like that that are costing extra. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for some savings again there.
What about the memorandum of understanding with the YMCA? Because I thought that was a really important initiative that you brought in early, again, in your mandate. And we haven't heard much about it since then.
Yeah, it's a little bit quiet right now. Basically, what's happening with that is we're still working on it. And the next step really is to go to the public. So the town and the Y do have a memorandum of understanding that they would like to explore further the option of having the YMCA do a new build at the CCC space. Now, if people will remember that there was discussions when the CCC was built to have a Y go there. Unfortunately, they didn't get the funding and that didn't happen. However, the building was built to have another facility built on. So a lot of the infrastructure is already there in terms of the pipes and the plumbing. So that's great news. And the Y for their future and the work that they've done is they've costed out and looked at all different options because we know their building's 30 years old and it's at the end of its lifespan and they've got some limitations in terms of floodplain and in the work that they had done, that the new build at the CCC was the most cost effective and the best plan for them. So what we're doing now is we have a communication plan in effect that we've been working on, and the town right now is undergoing a recreational strategy. So we received some funding for a recreational strategy, and we have hired MHBC, which is a consulting firm out of Waterloo. I'm very impressed with them. I'm quite excited to be working with them on this. And we're looking at a 5-year and a 10-year plan. And this is for planning. So we are actually going to be tagging on to that project in terms of a survey to get out to reach out to the public to get feedback. So first thing we really are going to want to know, is there an appetite from the public? What does the Y membership think? What does the town of Coburg think? What do our residents think? Is there an appetite? And if we get some interest back and this is our feasibility study, then yeah, we're moving forward.
Well, the one thing that, from what I understand, we know that there was this discussion with the town and the Y to build the pool and all of that when the original build was underway. But was there any thought given, because you and I have actually spoken about this, the idea that we've really been focused on partnering with the Y, but is that something the town needs to do? Do we need to partner with the Y in order to do this? Was there ever a study determined, was there an appetite for the town to actually go into a partnership, or could they do it on their own? I mean, mm-hmm. we've always heard this with the CCC when it was being developed, that there was going to be this partnership with the Y, it was going to be great. But at this, by the same token, there really wasn't any conversation as to whether or not the town could just go it alone and maybe let the Y maintain whatever they got going on.
Well, because there was work done and there was a study done that said we don't need more pools. So it wouldn't be, if the Y has a pool and the town was to build a pool, it would have been too much for this community. So that's why. The Y does pools. They do it very well. They're mm-hmm. very experienced at it. So that was why that concept, okay, was to partner with the Y. And okay. and we have a long-standing partnership with the Y, especially mm-hmm. with aquatics, with the outdoor pool downtown. And again, even with just with the beginning of the Y in the town of Coburg. So we can't sustain two pools in Coburg. So we know that. Two separate pools. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're looking at that. And that's, again, efficiency.
So is the town subsidizing the pool at the Y then? Is that what we're understanding from that then?
What do you mean, right now or in the future?
Yeah, right now.
No.
We're not.
No.
So it would be the town having its own pool at that point, right?
If the town put in a pool at the mm-hmm. CCC, mm-hmm. if the town went alone mm-hmm. and wanted to do a pool at the CCC, then the town would own the pool. If the Y partner, the town and the Y partner, it would be a Y-owned pool.
See, that was one of the things that I understand was sort of in the works. I know when they dropped off with the previously dropped the Parks and Recreation portfolio, mm-hmm. there was a plan. It almost sounded like they were going to partner and the YMCA was going to provide recreational services mm-hmm. for Coburg. And that was, one of the reasons that they didn't feel they needed any leadership was because that was going to sort of come in and mm-hmm. it would be run. And then the CCC came along and there was all this talk and it sounded like they were going to pick up the responsibility for providing all the programs. Personal training,
I think that's, you're right. I think that's what was being sold to the public.
And I remember that discussion going on. And it sounds to me now like, you know, we now have the town sort of creating its own Parks and Recreation Department. You're going to undertake a study so that we have this town-run recreational facility. And we still have the Y and the questions about sustainability. Do we really need this? I guess the question becomes one of, you know, is it still a good idea to let the Y kind of do the recreation for Coburg? Or does the town really need to get involved this deeply in the whole recreation aspect?
Well, previously, you would have the Y would have done certain parts. And in many communities that share facilities, you'll see the YMCA often takes care of the warm side activities. And then the town runs the arena because typically towns mm-hmm. that's what they do well. And that's the Y right. does what they do well. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding, because I'm not familiar with the previous mm-hmm. Department and but it's my understanding that when the CCC was built and we had our own facility, then yes, there was a bit of a division there and the town started some of their own programming mm-hmm. within the CCC. So the town started running programming. If the Y and the town decide to partner together and move forward, then those things will all have to be worked out because we have to look at how to fill the gaps and then how to deal with duplication of services. Mm-hmm. It can be done. There are other models out there and we are looking at those as well on how it can be done and be done efficiently and be done well at a cost that's reasonable for the public.
I guess what's at the heart of it, though, is one of the things you said last year was that a major part of the Parks and Recreation budget, and particularly with the CCC, are salaries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're looking at partnering and, you know, spreading mm-hmm. that sort of fiscal responsibility between, you know, Y staff and town staff and duplication of services. Mm-hmm. I guess that is a critical piece in the puzzle because I guess moving forward, I can see people being critical that, you know, do we have more than we need or are we duplicating spending mm-hmm. When we don't need to be? So I guess that was my question.
And that'll be something that we're looking at as mm-hmm. well, right? So we're always looking at staffing, making sure that we're getting the most out of our mm-hmm. staff. They're being used the most efficiently. The CCC right now is got a skeleton staff, really, for a lot of it, for the size of the facility, especially in terms mm-hmm. of maintenance. Moving forward again, because we're at such a preliminary stage of the discussion with the YMCA, like we haven't even broken it down that far yet. Mm-hmm. right now it's fairly high level with just the development of the MOU and then looking at does this community even want to entertain this concept and this idea. So that's really where we are right now. And then once we have that feedback, then we'll start moving the process and developing. So if the answer is yes, we do have an appetite, we want to move forward, then we're going to start breaking it down into like subcommittees, and there'll be an opportunity for the many, many members of the public to come together to provide input.
Well, the opportunity for input is obviously something that you were elected on. I mean, one of the things that the people really objected to from the previous two or three councils actually was the fact that there didn't seem to be any opportunity for people to have their say. And even if they did have their say, that anyone was actually listening. And one of the things that I have to say this, and I'm not just saying this because you and I are related, but the reality is this council, as you said earlier, is very congenial. There, even when they disagree, there's no rage involved in that disagreement. And even when you have organizations come and make presentations, it doesn't seem, I mean, I can remember previous councils where people would make presentations and you could tell from the response of the mayor or the way the councillors were looking that, if looks could kill, the person speaking would be dead. But we don't seem to be getting that with this group. There seems to be more of a willingness to listen. But is that to your detriment? I mean, we seem to have more and more people now coming out of the woodworks to tell you guys that you're doing everything wrong. And the CTA comes to my mind.
Yeah, and I don't think it's to our detriment. I was going to say that same thing. I was going to say that this council is listening. And I think that's what the public wants. Do I think the CTA is to our detriment? No, I think that the CTA is developed because of what's happened in the past and what they've seen. And we've have a year under our belt, and they want to make sure that we're moving in a direction of transparency and accountability. And I think this council is doing what they can to answer the questions from the public in the best way that we know how. And sometimes things might not move as quickly as they would have in the past because we're asking for more information.
Right.
And so.
So you're not just listening, you're actually hearing.
We're hearing and we're asking for more information. And one of the things you're going to see coming shortly is a public engagement policy that's being developed. It's quite comprehensive. I don't know if the deputy mayor spoke to you about that when he was here.
A little bit, yeah.
But I know that is near and dear to his heart, and it's an initiative that he has taken on. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the product, the draft, when it comes to council for discussion, because I think it's very important and it's going to answer a lot of questions that people do have.
We are going to take our next break for the hour, Rob. I hate to cut you off. I know we got a call coming through too, but we are going to take this break right now as we get closer to the top of the hour. My guest is Teresa Rickerby and Rob Washburn, of course, a regular contributor here at Consider This, which is heard every Wednesday right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. I'm Dave Glover. This is The Drive Time. And welcome back to The Drive Time. Now, we did have a caller. You probably heard the ringing of the bell there just before we went to the break there. And the caller's question was, it was pretty confusing, really, because what the question was if we're already at maximum pool capacity, as it were, when the town doesn't want to get into the business of building another pool, if we do build another pool or an aquatic center at the CCC, what happens to the Wise Pool?
Yeah.
And aren't we still in the same boat as you were mentioning earlier?
So just to clarify for the listeners, at this time, the town of Cobourg is not building a pool at the CCC, just so there's no confusion. And what I was referring to was a study that was done previously looking at aquatics in the town of Cobourg. And we currently have one outdoor pool and we have a pool at the YMCA that's owned by the YMCA, meaning that those pools met the needs of the community. If a Y partnership goes through, which we don't know yet, but if that was to happen in the future, and if a new pool was built, then of course the other pool would be decommissioned. And to be honest, I'm not really at liberty to speak about what will happen with the YMCA pool. That's a YMCA decision, and that's something that the board will discuss and make decisions on.
I wanted to follow up. We were having a really interesting discussion there about the openness of council and the new community engagement proposal. But I wondered about some of the pressures that are now being placed in front of council in terms of I've noticed reports have seemingly gone back to staff on several occasions. There's been a lack of information. We had a campaign that was fairly intense around the Medical Arts Building. Mm-hmm. And a lot of information was put out. There was a public relations campaign that was launched to prevent the waiver being offered to the Medical Arts Building. I'm wondering if, first of all, you could give us what's your position now on the Medical Arts Building?
Well, the Medical Arts Building discussion is going to be coming back. We're waiting for some more information. And you know what, Rob? It's a tough one because, you know, I listened to all of the arguments and I did vote in favor of it initially. And I'm not sure I'm going to be voting that way in the future. It's
what have you learned that's changed your mind?
Well, first and foremost, I'm concerned about how the waiver, wavering the fees will affect the capital campaign. And I really support the hospital's capital campaign for meeting the needs of the community immediately. And I wonder, too, about when we do these types of projects, if we're going to waive a fee and under the Municipal Act, it has to be done in the spirit of the community at large, the whole community. So I wonder, too, about this building, will it be meeting the needs of the community at large? So that's another question I have.
And by that, you mean not just a specific group of patients, but the overall community.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have to look at, we have to look at the whole community. So, and I do know that there was an agreement, well, or an understanding anyway, between the NMAI board and the NHH board that, the asking for of the getting funds for the NMAI wouldn't affect the capital campaign for the hospital, and that's a concern of mine, you know. And the town does contribute to the capital campaign. They do have another one coming forward that's going to be very substantial and very important. And so I'm weighing all of those options. I know that it was discussed at the last council when we took it off the agenda that some more information and questions had come forth. We're finding out the information before council debates it again for a final response. So again, it's not about just Councillor McCarthy gave a very impassioned plea. She supports this project 100%. She's done her research and I understand where she's coming from as well. So it's not an easy decision. I have some concerns about the precedent that it would set as well. So those are my concerns. The capital campaign, are we meeting the needs of the community at large and the precedent for the future? So
any concern for landlords who will be losing tenants if the, if in fact it does get built and those people are forced to move out?
I mean, yeah, there's
that's
quite
lost
a few,
revenue for the town too.
Yeah,
right?
I know. And that's unfortunate. However, when you're doing business, you know, that's the nature of being a landlord. And how do you go about... I'm not going to say you can't grow your business or you can't start a new business because I don't want this person to lose their business. That's not my place to do that. So it is an unfortunate
Yeah, but the town
side
would
effect.
In fact be subsidizing another business that would be competing against existing space, right?
Yeah, but that...
Is that something that you have to consider as a counselor, though? The fact that if we give this waiver to this builder, for instance... that it's going to directly affect the revenue stream that we already have in existence.
Well, this project's going ahead regardless.
Is that so?
Because trying to.
Okay.
Whether or not the town...
So the waiver really isn't going to be a barrier for these folks.
No, I mean, if the town waived the fees, that would be of benefit to them. That's $300,000. I mean, that's a substantial amount of money. It would be of benefit to them, but I don't think it's a make or break for this project.
Okay. Well, interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. How has the dynamic changed now that we have a taxpayers group in the town? I know down the road in Port Hope, it made a very big difference prior to this current council in terms of the dynamic. And at some points, it actually sort of melted down into quite a vitriol and very tense exchange between the citizens and the council, and at times paralyzing the council from moving forward.
That was in, that's in Port Hope.
That's in Port Hope, yeah. I'm talking about. Now we have this fledgling group. They seem to be quite active. How are you seeing it play out from your position as a councillor?
Well, I would say that it adds pressure, definitely. And for instance, you mentioned about the lobbying efforts in regards to the NMII. My mailbox was full of emails, and they were all the same, you know, for the most part. So, but on the other hand, I respect that is the public's right, you know, mm-hmm. to keep a watchful eye. And I respect what they're doing. I would ask that they understand and respect how busy council is. I would have to say that is, you wanted to talk about my first year. That's one of the things I've learned about how much work it is mm-hmm. to be a good councillor, mm-hmm. To keep up with your reading, to keep up with the public. Mm-hmm. It is a full-time job. So I would hope that they would respect that because a lot of the people are retired and mm-hmm. have a lot of time to research, which I think is excellent. But that they... that we keep to really important issues and we don't bog council down with some things that maybe are insignificant and that the lines of communication are mm-hmm. Respectful. Mm-hmm. And but otherwise, I welcome the questions. I think it's important.
Well, one of the things we asked them when we had them in the studio was whether or not the group was being really unfair towards the new council, because a lot of the things that they're bringing up, a lot of the objections that the CTA have, at least from the discussions we have, are based on the previous council, you know, and we actually said that. So, I mean, we've got a brand new council. You guys just pop out of the woodwork. So are you there to be advisors, as they claim? They say they're here. Well, we're here because we think we can offer really good advice to council. Or are they there to be antagonistic towards council? Because I'm still kind of on the fence about the role they're playing right now. I mean, a lot of the issues they're bringing up tend to be about, and I know you don't really want to get specific on talking about a group, but as I said, a lot of it has to do with things that were done in the past. Well, this is the way things have been done in the past. What are you doing that's different? So, I mean, even some of the callers I've had, I mean, is this sour grapes on the part of some of these members of the CTA? Because, again, one of them was a candidate in the last municipal election and didn't win. And so is that coming into play, you think?
I don't know if that necessarily comes into play in regards to the last election, but I do think that maybe a dissatisfaction previously is what spurred this group to form. And I think if you sit back and look at what this council has done in 1 year, I would say it's quite significant mm-hmm. In moving forward in a very positive way. For instance, the CTA is really interested in having council be more accessible to the public at large and is looking for, you know, live broadcasting of...
Live streaming, yeah.
Well, they don't want live streaming, but perhaps on YouTube or, you know, because... And I think if we stop and look back, we know that that is one of our main priorities and objectives in our strategic plan mm-hmm. for this term of council. We know that we're putting money forward for 2016 to make that a reality and make it happen. That it's been discussed. I believe that there is a general consensus that everyone mm-hmm. feels that that's a priority going forward. So we're working towards those things. So sometimes we do have to be a little bit patient, maybe give us a chance to show. But, you know, I also think people shouldn't have to fight for information all the time. You shouldn't have to always go to Freedom of Information to get an answer. And I think mm-hmm. that's what this council is trying to do is open up those lines of communication.
And I wonder to some extent, too, when you have reports coming through, and we've seen quite a number of reports over the last year that have had to gone mm-hmm. back to staff for further information. The decisions mm-hmm. can't be made. And, you know, while that may seem like a very natural thing to do and worthwhile, I think it feeds into a certain perception that that things are being held up back or that there's a deliberate nature to why things aren't coming out. And I wonder, too, as we proceed forward, if there's not going to have to be more vigilance both on council's behalf and on staff's behalf to make sure that things are coming forward that are well thought out, yes. that are comprehensive, yes. that there's a lot of information that's going to flow forward. Because every time, you know, council does this and sends things back or can't make a decision in full, it gives to some people, I think it stokes a false impression of what's going on.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. And that's one of the things that we just discussed again at the last council is a standardized reporting format. Mm-hmm. So that staff understands, and maybe too it's a communication thing. Does staff actually understand what that this council is looking for? And don't forget, I mean, every council is different. So mm-hmm. when you work for a municipality, what the last council might have wanted that you just got used to doing in 4 years, the mm-hmm. new council wants something different. And I know that this council really wants very clear, well thought out, well presented reporting with comparisons. And the deputy mayor has made that point very clear time mm-hmm. and time again.
Well, they want reports that you can stand by, right?
And so that we have the information that we need, especially as a new councillor, mm-hmm. right? so that we have the information that we need to make an educated and informed decision. Sure. And so that's why they are going back at times, because they don't have the amount of information, especially depending on how much money you're spending. So if you're spending, you know, multi-million dollars, you want to make sure that you have the right information. So, or enough information to make an educated decision. So we're going to see a standardized reporting format coming out, so that there's consistency and we have it all detailed, and it's easier for staff so they know what we expect, and then we should hopefully not have these requests having to go back and do more work.
Well, you know, you talked about it being a full-time job, but you're being paid part-time wages. Any discussion at council, either in front of or in camera, about whether or not you guys should be discussing a wage increase?
Well, if it was in camera, I couldn't talk about it, but no, not right now. But good try, Dave.
Thank you.
No, at this time, there isn't any discussions. And, you know, I don't begrudge at all the amount of money that I'm being paid or the amount of work, because I took on that responsibility and that commitment. And I think that people who run for council and... I mean, oh my goodness, I look at the work the deputy mayor's doing, and then on top of that, the mayor's schedule is crazy. So, I think if you're going to make that commitment, then you need to follow through.
Quick question. Are we going to go through the same thing with the birds this winter?
Well, we've had no snow yet. So, but if it snows, I would think probably yes.
So we're going to be back at it again?
Well, I hope not, but that's, you know, it's not up to me. So,
and as a teacher, I have to ask you, last year you were given a C+ by Northumberland News when they did their report card.
Oh, I know. Ouch. I didn't like that.
So have you improved over the last year?
Well,
we ask all our students this question. Do you feel you've improved over the last year? Can you get a better grade?
Rob, I never felt I was a C+ in the first place.
Okay.
So I would say, you know.
How are you going to do this year?
Well,
B plus?
Let's hope for at least a B plus.
A minus.
A minus or A.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for being here, Teresa, and you've been a really good sport.
Thank you very much.
And like we don't pull any punches, even though you're my sister-in-law. A lot of folks were wondering, he's going to be real soft. That wasn't the case. Thanks, Rob, as always, for being here, as we are on Consider This every Wednesday. You're listening to The Drive Time. We don't have enough time to play this, but we're going to play it anyway. We're taking it out with BTO.